Tonight is Monday night, May 16th. This is the Gemara Shir Masecha Sukkah. We're up to Daf Mem Beis Omid Aleph. The last line of the Mishnah said, the last halacha was stated in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said the following: we know that we do not, at the time, this Mishnah operates at a time when they still took lulav on the first day of Yontiv, if it was Shabbos. It was later decreed by Rabbah not to take lulav on Shabbos, but until Rabbah, which is in the middle of the 4th century, they took lulav on Shabbos. And the Mishnah is aware of that. But that doesn't mean you're allowed to take your lulav to shul on Shabbos. And you're not allowed to carry it, Barusha Sarabu. So if you had somebody who carried his lulav Berushas HaRabim, and then he realized, oh, it was Shabbos, he would not have to bring a Korban Chatas for having violated Shabbos B'shogeg. Obviously, we're not talking about somebody who deliberately did so, but he forgot. He forgot today was Shabbos. Normally, that is a classic case of Shogeg, where you forget that one of two things. A, that today is Shabbos, but you know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Or B, you know it's Shabbos, but you forgot that you're not allowed to carry. So one of the two took place. So Rabbi Yossi said that if the item that he forgot that he carried on Shabbos, when he forgot that it was Shabbos, was his lulav, he would not be obligated to bring a korban chatas. Why? Because mipnei shehotzi'o berushus. He took it out berushus. It doesn't mean there's a license to be Michal Shabbos. It means he was doing a mitzvah, not something optional, and the mitzvah clouded his judgment, and as a result, it's an exemption from Korban Chatas. That's what tonight's shir is going to be about. Omar Abaye, says Abaye, Lo Shanu Ela Shelo Yatzabo. When do we say that Ta'ah Bidvar Mitzvah is pata from a korban chatas? That's only if he has not yet been yotzei the mitzvah. So if in his anticipation to fulfill the mitzvah, he was mechal Shabbos, under those circumstances, his tirda, his mind being preoccupied for the opportunity to be mekayim a mitzvah, exempts him from a korban chatas. However, avol yotzabo chayiv. But if he had already fulfilled the mitzvah, the basic core mitzvah, so let's assume he took the lulav in the house to be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav. Then he suddenly went, he's one of the Anshei Yerushalayim people. He's going to visit somebody in the hospital. He wants to carry his lulav also. For that, we don't grant him any exemption. And for such an individual, he would be obligated to bring a korban chatas. So it's only if he is yet to fulfill the mitzvah, that's when we will allow his preoccupied mind to exempt him from the korban chatas. But if the mitzvah has already been discharged, under those circumstances, he would be obligated to bring korban chatas. Asks the Gemara the obvious question. Hamida agbei, nafakbei. The minute he picked it up in his house, he has already fulfilled the mitzvah. Everybody knows that that's all you need to do on a d'oraisa level, is to pick up the lulav. So the minute he picked it up in his house, he was already yotzei the mitzvah before the chilul Shabbos was encountered. And as a result, by the time he gets into the public thoroughfare, which would create the chilul Shabbos, he had already been mekayim the mitzvah. And as a result, under what circumstances would Rabbi Yossi grant him an exemption from korban chatas? Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, kisha hafcho. What we are talking about is that what? He turned the esrog upside down. He was a very smart guy. He knew that you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav derech gidilasan. So he turned the lulav or the esrog upside down. And as a result, you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah. So when he picked it up, he had not yet discharged his mitzvah. Consequently, when he's going out into the street, he is still in the process of yet to be mekayim the mitzvah. Consequently, his forgetfulness of Shabbos will not demand that he bring a Karban Chatas and will be exempt from a Karban Chatas. That's what Abaye says. The Rabbeinu Hananel interprets Kishahavcho slightly differently, where he says he didn't turn it upside down, but what he did was he took the lulav and put it in his left hand and put the esrog in his right hand. Now, even though we once discussed this on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, we discussed this that the overwhelming majority of Rishonim believe that when the Gemara says lulav b'yamin and esrog b'smol, that's only recommended. But if you and I go ahead and take the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand, we are mekayim the mitzvah. The Rabbeinu Hananel, to my knowledge, is the only Rishon who believes that if you switch hands, you are not mekayim the mitzvah. You're not mekayim the mitzvah. So therefore, switching hands, kishahavcho, means that I was carrying the lulav in my left hand as I went into the street. I have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. Consequently, because of the tirda of the mitzvah, I will be exempt from the korban chatas. Take a look at Tap Taisvis, and we'll see some very interesting statements of Taisvis. Omar Abaye, Kisha Hofcho, says Taisvis, Mide'itzterech l'shanuye hachi. Since Abaye was compelled to answer that he turned the lulav upside, or the esrog upside down, mashma, we can infer from this, disvirule de mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. We can infer that Abaye believed that mitzvos, in order to fulfill them, to fulfill a mitzvah, you do not have to have kavana in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. For if Rabaye was of the opinion that mitzvos tzrichos kavana, then you wouldn't have to turn over the lulav in order to preclude your fulfilling the mitzvah before you get into the street. Why? As long as you didn't have kavana to be yotzei, under those circumstances you are not yotzei. So why did he have to say kishahavcho? Apparently, says Taisvis, the halacha is, at least according to Abaye, mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. The hakai amotzi l'rishus harabim, v'hasam ein shayich miskaven lotzeis kol kama de lo birech. And there, you certainly can't say that what he did have intention to what to be mekayim the mitzvah, because what would indicate that he certainly did not have intention to be mekayim the mitzvah? He didn't make the bracha yet. So apparently, mitzvos ein tzrichos kavan. You don't need kavan. Well, if you don't eat kavana, so the mere fact that you engage in the pu'ulat ha-mitzvah, the mere fact that you do the action, would automatically mean that you have discharged your obligation. Therefore, if I carry my lulav into the street without thinking about the mitzvahs aseh of ulakachtam lochem, I will be mekayim the mitzvah. Consequently, the only way to exempt him from a karban chatas is kishehavcho, he turned it around. He turned it around. That's what Taisva says. That's proof number one. The Oud, secondly, says Taisva, I'll prove to you that that Abaye must be holding mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. De'ayri beholech etzel baki lilmod. Why is this guy carrying his lulav in the street? Why? Not because he wanted to be an Anshei Yerushalayim there, because he's carrying his lulav to go visit somebody in the hospital. You have to understand it and take it exactly the way Rabbah formulated why we eliminated lulav on Yom Tov when it comes out on Shabbos. Why did Rabbah eliminate the mitzvah of lulav when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos? Because we're afraid about somebody who does not know how to be mekayim the mitzvah. He doesn't know where to put the esrog, where to put the lulav, where to put the adasim, where to put the aravos, and he's going to carry it to a baki, to somebody who will teach him. That's why he went into the street. Well, somebody who's not a baki certainly does not know that what? That in order to be mekayim a mitzvah, what do you have to have? Kavana, lotzeis. He won't know that. So if we must assume that if the only way which precluded him from doing the mitzvah is turning it over, must be you hold. Mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. And therefore you don't have to be taught and alerted to the fact that you need some type of mental awareness. So as a result, based on this, that fact that this is the concern of Rabbah, so we see that that was the issue. Well, if you have somebody who's not a bucky, apparently he's not going to know the halacha that you had to have kavana lotzeis. So says Tosfos. V'teima, the Besofra'u Bezdin asks Tosfos at the end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, Omar Rava, mitzvos ein tzrichas kavana. That mitzvos ain't tzrichas kavana. Very nice. But kamosev le Abaye tuva. Abaye asked a series of questions against Rava, who stated mitzvos ain't tzrichas kavana. Well, if Abaye is attacking Rava, obviously, what does Abaye hold? Mitzvos tzrichas kavana. So if Abaye holds mitzvos tzrichas kavana, how can Tosfos claim here that Abaye is of the opinion mitzvos ain't tzrichas kavana? Because if he holds mitzvos ain't tzrichas, what's he asking kashas against Rava for? Answers Tosfos, one of his really compelling answers, v'shema Abaye kibla minhei. Maybe after Abaye asked all of his questions, Rava answered them and he convinced his good friend Abaye, you know what, you're wrong, accept my opinion, and that ultimately Abaye did. Therefore, Tosfos concludes, bottom line, Abaye held mitzvos ein srichas kavana. I want to share with you, there is an enormous debate what the halacha actually is. Is mitzvos srichas kavana or mitzvos ein srichas kavana? Very famous debate. So take the sheet that I gave you, first thing for first, and we'll see, this is a well-known machloikis, stiras haramba. Very known, stiras haramba. Howie already knows what page he wrote it on and what booklet, what book, because we discussed this many years ago. So the Rambam writes in the first page, this is in Hilchos Shofar, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet of Hilchos Shofar. I bracketed for you. Hamisasek betkia shofar lehislamed lo yatzach chavasa. It's not my concern right now. Listen to the second halacha, or third halacha, third line. Niskavein shomea lotzeis yidei chavaso. If the person that was listening had in mind to be Yotzei Tkiya Shofar, but the Baal Tokeya, Bennett, did not have in mind to be Motzi us, Sheniskaven HaTokeya, if the Baal Tokeya had in mind to be Motzi us, Velo Niskaven HaShomeya, and the person listening had no Kavana to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, Lo yotze yidei chavaso ad she yiskaven shomeya umashmiya. The only way you can be mekayim in the mitzvah is if the person listening and the person tooting the horn will be have kavana to be mekayim in the mitzvah. So if this was the only Rambam ever printed, you would come to the conclusion that the Rambam holds mitzvos srichos kavana. Turn the page. Here's the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, very famous Rambam, Perek Vav Halacha Gimel. Says the Rambam, Ochal Matzah below Kavana. Somebody ate Matzah without having Kavana to be Yotzei the Mitzvah Be'erev Toch L'Matzos. Kigom Sho'ansuhu Akum Olistin Le'echol. A Gentile took a piece of Matzah, crushed it up, and shoved it down your throat. I had no intention whatsoever of eating matzah. Says the Rambam, Yatzah, you Yotzei the Mitzvah. So if this was the only Rambam you ever saw, you'd say that the Rambam paskins, mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. So this conflict was already noticed by the Ran. And the Ran believes that the rule of pinky of the Rambam is like the halacha in Hilchos Shofar. That really the Rambam believes mitzvos ain't srichas kavana. Excuse me, mitzvos srichas kavana. like the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, that's the golden rule of the Rambam. Why is it that by matzah he says mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana? Because eating is an exception to the rule. How does the Rambam know that eating is an exception to the rule? From another halacha. There is a halacha called misaseg. Misaseg. Misaseg means, I think I'm doing a permissible activity, and I wound up doing a prohibited activity. That's the definition of misaseg. I thought I was going to do a permissible activity, and I wound up doing something undoubtedly prohibited. For example, on Friday afternoon, I have a tomato bush in my backyard, and I like tomatoes with my chopped liver. So I cut all the tomatoes off their vine on Friday. Very nice. But I left them on the ground. I go down to pick up what I thought was a loose, already cut tomato, and there was one tomato which I forgot to cut, and that's the one I pulled off the ground, off the vine. So I intended to do nothing prohibited. You're allowed to pick up a tomato off the floor. And I wound up violating the law of kotzer. That's called misaseg. Shogeg means I intended to do the action, but I didn't know it was Shabbos, or I didn't know it was prohibited. Here, I didn't intend to do any malach. So the din is misaseg is patur from korban chatas. So if you do something on Shabbos where you intended to do a thing which is permissible and you wound up doing a malacha, you don't have to bring a korban chatas. Misasek is patur. The only two exceptions are chalavim v'arayos. Shekein nehene. Chalavim v'arayos. Chalev. Somebody is eating a piece of meat. As you well know, some of the fat is permissible. Every piece of meat we eat sometimes has some fat on it. Some part of the meat, some part of the fat is prohibited. The butcher has to do trabering and get rid of it. Now let's eat that fat. Fine. So this guy is about to eat a piece of meat thinking it's kosher fat, which the halacha calls shuman. And it wound up to be non-kosher chalev. So he thought he was doing a permissible activity, and he wound up doing something prohibited. He has to bring a korban chatas for eating chalev. Why? Because he had hana'ah. He had hana'ah. So the hana'ah compensates for the lack of thought of the violation. He thought he was doing something permissible. So it's the illustration is given, hamisasig chutz mechalav v'arayis. A very unusual case. Somebody thought he's going to bed with his wife, and it wound up to be some other woman who is prohibited unto him. Okay? He has to bring a korban chatas. Shekein nehen. So the Ran says, if the absence of kavana can be compensated by the hana'ah which you generate to make you bring a korban chatas, the absence of kavana to be mekayim a mitzvah can be overridden by the hana'ah that you get by eating the kezayis of matzah. Therefore, only by eating do you not have to have kavanah. Only by a mitzvah of eating do you not have to have kavanah. Because the kavanah, because the maisa hana'ah that is generated by eating compensates for the lack of kavanah, just as the hana'ah of eating compensates for the lack of kavana in determining whether you're chayav a korban chatas or not. So answers the Ran. And his conclusion is that the Rambam paskin mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Rab Chaim disagreed with the Ran and said no. The primary Rambam is Hilchos Matzah. That's the real Rambam. Rambam paskins mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavan. And therefore, if somebody shoves a kezayis of matzah down your throat, you are mekayim the mitzvah, despite the fact that I had no kavan. So why in Hilchos Shofar does the Rambam say you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah? Because you're not doing the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah yourself. Somebody else is blowing the shofar. So when somebody else is doing the action, and you're a total airhead, we're not going to give you credit for the mitzvah. In order to link you, the passive listener, to what? To the person doing the pe'ulat ha-mitzvah, therefore there has to be some type of mental interaction. He has to have kavanah to be motzi you, you have to have kavanah lotzeis. But whenever you do the action of a mitzvah yourself, says Rav Chaim, the Rambam Shita is, you do not need kavanah. You don't need kavanah. So if you take the mitzvah of kiddush, for example, it depends how you'll be yotz in the mitzvah of kiddush. If you make kiddush yourself, you don't have to have kavanah. Just say the words. And you don't have to be aware of the fact that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Zacharis Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshah. But if you're listening to somebody else make kiddush, then you must have kavanah. Because you're not doing the Maisa HaMitzvah yourself.
He does too.
What?
He does too.
And he has to be have kavanah to be Maitzi. Yes. So that's the machloikis between the Ran and the Rab Chaim, how to establish what is Shita Sarambam. It's so unusual that the Rambam was meticulous to tell us about everything, would fail to inform us about a critical... What does he hold about mitzvah Srichas Kavan? Why don't you just say, in the first mitzvah that he discusses, Nilchus Tzitzis, I want you to know, Havei Yodea, mitzvah Srichas Kavanah, and remember this for the rest of Mishnah Torah. That would have been the easy. And that's exactly what the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch does. The Mechaber paskins, mitzvos Srichas Kavanah. End of discussion. Tzrichas Kavanah. But Tosfos is of the opinion that what? Mitzvos ain't Tzrichas Kavanah, and therefore you hold Kishe Hafchal. Kishe Hafchal. Now Rav Kiveger asks a very interesting question here, on this situation. On the Gemara's answer, on the Gemara's question of Mida'ag Bey Nofak Bey, the Gemara asked the question, how could you possibly exempt him from a Korban Chatas if based on the fact that what? Based on the fact that he was already Yotze the mitzvah the minute he picked it up. And before he got out to the street, he was already Yotze the mitzvah. And the rule of thumb is, the only time you are exempt from a Korban Chatas, if you are Mechal Shabbos, is if before you were Yotze. So asks the Gemara, correct? Is that what the Gemara is? But the Agbay Nafakbay? Good. Asks Reb Kiveger. Yeah. In order to be chayav a korban chatas on Shabbos, you require what is called an akira and a hanacha. For hotza'ah, for carrying from your domain to a public domain, in order to be chayav a korban chatas, you have to have violated the malacha in its totality. So if I walk out on Shabbos with this, and there's no Eruv, and I step out of my house and I never bring it to rest. I just keep walking around in the street and I never stop. And then I go into somebody else's house, I have not violated the Shabbos. So if I had done that b'mezid, deliberately, I would not be chayv skila. If I did it b'shogeg, I would not be chayv korban chatas. Because the definition of the melacha of hotza'ah requires an akira to bring it into motion and hanacha to put it down to rest. Therefore asks Rav Kiveger, even if he was already yotze the mitzvah in the house before he got into the street, right? But where did he make the akira? Where did he make the akira? Where? In his house. So the akira, now was the akira done before he was mekayim the mitzvah? Did he start picking it up before he was mekayim the mitzvah? Yes. So even though he was already mekayim the mitzvah by the time he got into the street, you can't make him bring a korban chatas. Why? Because half of this malacha was covered by the fact that he had not yet done the mitzvah. Therefore asks Reb Kivega, how does our Gemara ask? The Gemara made a statement that if you have yet to fulfill the mitzvah and you carry it on Shabbos, you are exempt from korban chatas. But if you have already been mekayim the mitzvah, you are obligated to bring a korban chatas when you carry it in the street. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? How is it ever possible that when you carried it in the street that you have not yet been mekayim the mitzvah? As soon as you picked it up in your house, you were already mekayim the mitzvah. Asks Rab Kiveger, the minute you pick it up, that's start of the malacha. So at that starting point, that akira cannot be held against you. Can't be held against you. Even though the hanacha, carrying it into the Rishus HaRabim and stopping, can be held against you. But that is not sufficient to generate a chiyuv of a korban chatas. Why? Because in order to be violate the Isur of Shabbos, even b'shogeg, you need an akina of chiyuv and hanacha of chiyuv. And, what? And here there is no akira. So what's the Gemara asking? Ask Rav Kiveger.
That's not the Gemara.
What did the Gemara say?
The Gemara didn't specify as precisely that you need an akira and hanacha of Isur.
Correct.
Because every single...
Rav Kiveger, the Gemara expects you to know that.
No, because then according to that explanation, when do you ever have Hotsah? Because when you do the...
When you stop.
But when you did the Akira, you were never doing anything Usur.
That's correct. It will be completed even when you get outside.
Even on a regular Shabbos.
Correct.
You'll never have, according to Rav Kiveger's analysis...
That's not true.
Why?
Where does it say you're allowed to pick up your pen on Shabbos and carry it outside?
Where does it say that I can't pick up my Gemara inside... And then go outside with it. Until I went outside with it, Akira had nothing.
But there's no reshus, there's no mitzvah to do so. The only exemption of korban chatas is if your Akira was related to a mitzvah.
No, the whole malacha was related, in its entirety.
No.
The Gemara doesn't separate it.
But he's asking.
But then according to him, when am I ever over on Hotsah?
When you did something which was not a mitzvah, and you made Akira and you did Hanukkah.
But my Akira wasn't done b'Isser.
It was.
No, it wasn't. The time I did it, it wasn't Usser.
It doesn't have to, it can never be, it's never Usser when you do Akira. But you need an Akira which can lead to Chiyuv. Here your Akira can't lead to Chiyuv because your Akira was always in the Nisgeret of Rishut, of Mitzvah.
I think the Gemara is saying the whole Malacha can't lead, not one part of it.
No, why do you make that assumption?
Why do you make the other assumption? It's an assumption the other way just as well.
No, it's not. He's right.
Where does the Gemara point out that it's only one part of it?
It's not. That's the Gemara. His question. His question is that the Gemara seems to look at the totality of it. And that's not true. His question is that once you carried it outside on Shabbos, and that was not done berushus, because you already were mekayim the mitzvah, you should be held accountable. Correct. Asked Rav Kiveger, how did you forget about the akira which was done berushus?
Every akira,
it's not a mitzvah. Every akira is not a mitzvah. An akira which you start in your house and you wind up there, that akira makes you chayiv on Shabbos. Why? Because when you picked it up, there was no mitzvah, nobody telling you to do it. That was your choice to pick up and put it into motion. You could have sat down and learned when it was right there. Nobody asked you to pick up the Gemara. Yes?
So Rabbi Kiveger's asking on the question?
On the question of the Gemara. Why did the Gemara think that as soon as I picked it up in my house, there is no way to be called Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah, because by the time I get outside, I will have already fulfilled the mitzvah. What malacha are we talking about that we consider mandating a korban chatas? What malacha did he violate? Hotza'ah. Says Rav Kiveger, Hotza'ah is a malacha that consists of two parts, Akira and Hanacha. Well, the Akira is when he picked it up to be mekayim the mitzvah. That Akira was now covered by Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah.
just want to get when the Gemara asks Moshe, Elish Loyatzav.
That's Moshe. That's a statement. That's not a question. Chayiv. Stop right there. Now the Gemara asks the question.
But so where's the repeated question
on the question of Hamid Agbe Nafakbe? How does the Gemara challenge the rule by what is the Gemara asking to challenge the rule? The Gemara said, if you have already been Yotzei the Mitzvah, then there is no excuse for a Korban Chatas. Asks the Gemara, there is never an excuse for a Korban Chatas, because by the time you get outside, you've already been Yotzei the Mitzvah. And the rule is, you can only be exempt from a Korban Chatas if you have not yet been Mekayim the Mitzvah.
I don't understand. I didn't understand the Gemara's question. Abayotzibochayo.
Stop right there.
That could be a simple case. I took the lulav inside. I was yotzi the lulav inside. Put it down, and then an hour later, I decided to go for a walk.
So that's Gemara's question. That's no question.
That's yotzibochayo.
Good. Now the Gemara's answer.
Now the Gemara wants to say, if that's the case,
right?
If that's the case,
as soon as I picked it up,
and if I pick up the lulav
on the plant,
therefore I should be chayav.
Good. So when is there a possibility of having a case when you're exempt from a korban chatas? Give me a case where it's possible to be where the Mishnah's rule. Rav Yosi Oimer, in Hotzi, if you took out a lulav on Shabbos, you're parted from korban from the shotzir brishus. Said the Gemara, that's only before you were mekayim.
That's the Gemara's question.
That's exactly. That's good. That's
so.
Good.
So Rakim is an asking of the Gemara's question.
Yes, it is.
He's explaining the Gemara's question.
No, he's not. Rav Kiveger is claiming that there is a case of being exempt, even though you were yotzei the mitzvah in the house. Why should you be exempt from a korban chatas, even if you were yotzei the mitzvah before you got on the street? Because in order to generate a chiyuv of chatas, the akira has to be done be'isur, and the hanafa has to be done be'isur. When you pick up the lulav to carry it outside, that first with which you were mekayim in the mitzvah of lulav, that akira was done b'rishus. So once that akira was done b'rishus, you can't be mechayiv him later for carrying the lulav and stopping b'rishus arabim. Therefore, the Gemara is correct in its initial premise by saying that if you have not yet been yotzei the mitzvah, you will be exempt. What's the Gemara's kasha in the Agbe Nafka thing? Agbe Nafka is challenging the rule that there is never a rule. Says Rav Kiveger, there is a rule that if the only way in which you will violate it is your case. I picked it up my house, then I put it down. Now I decide to take it for a walk. Then I'll be chayav. But the Gemara's case is not talking about that. The Gemara's case is talking about that I should be chayiv even as I was picking it up to be yotzei and I walked out right away. I should be chayiv. Why? Because I was already yotzei the mitzvah before I got into Rosh Hashanah. That's the Gemara's question. Says Rav Kiveger, you still should be patur from korban chatas. Because the akira in your house at that moment was done with shein mitzvah. So once the akira was done with shein mitzvah, there is never a possibility of bringing korban chatas later. So why won't you bring a korban chatas? Because the akira was done, the shein mitzvah, the nation hotzi o birushus. That's Rav Kiveger's kasha.
I didn't understand the answer.
He doesn't understand the question. He doesn't understand why did the Gemara have to say kishamcho. That's exactly his question. Why did the Gemara ask the question and now is compelled to answer, turn it over? I could leave the case exactly the normal case and I will still create a case of exemption of the korban chatas. Why? Because half of this malacha was done with rishus.
So what's he has no solution, I presume.
That's always, not 99%. Okay. Here it is.
So then clearly he can't be correct.
Oh, please. Please. So good thing Reb Chaim wasn't here.
No one's ever read the Gemara?
What?
No one else knows how to read the Gemara?
No, Reb Kiveger. Somebody else thought he had an answer. The Rashash. I'll give it to you in a second. But Reb Kiveger, when he asks the Kasha, there's usually no answer for it. Yes?
You get into certain issues like the Akira.
Why is that so hard to understand that somebody didn't?
Because I think
he was one of the great geniuses.
Okay.
Yeah.
At what point are you Yosef the Mitzvah versus at what point does the Akira occur? Like Akira, doesn't Akira have to be over 3 tefachim?
Ah! That's the Rosh Hashanah's answer. That's what the Rosh Hashanah is going to answer. The Rosh Hashanah says, B'mchilus kvayd Rab Kivayger, he says the two don't happen at the same time. In order to create an Akira for which you will be chayiv a korban chatas, you have to lift it off the ground at least 3 tefachim. At least about a foot off the ground. You must lift it a foot off the ground. To be mekayim the mitzvah lekachtem, where does it say you have to be a foot off the ground? Does it? Absolutely not. Therefore, says the Rosh Hashanah, you know what the case is talking about? Here's what the case is talking about. It was on the ground or on the table, and I didn't pick it up. As I'm going to pick it up, I'm going to make an Akira. Oh, I already read to the mitzvah lulav. I read his yotzei the mitzvah lulav. Now I continue and bring it up more than 3 tefachim. Now I go outside, and then I stop. So the Akira of Hilchos Shabbos took place after the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Therefore the Akira is done b'Isur as well, and that's why the Gemara had to say b'Shahavchol. That's what the Rosh Hashanah answers for Rab Kivei. That's what the Rosh Hashanah answers. That's what the Rosh Hashanah answers. Yeah. Yeah. That's what he answers. The only thing that's so surprising about this is that Rabbi Kivayger didn't think of that. That's what's so surprising. The answer is so, it seems so simple that it's unlikely that Rabbi Kivayger couldn't think of that. Yeah. Yeah. That's point number one. Okay? Let me gain a little lighter. That was Abaye's answer. Hold on a second. Hold on one second else. Yeah. The Me'iri writes, that even if I hold mitzvos ein tzrichas kavana, as Tosfos claims Abaye does, nonetheless, if you have in mind not to be Yotzei, you're not going to be Yotzei. If you have in mind not to be Yotzei, you will not be Yotzei despite the fact that you have not had Kavan. And he adds the following. Umin hastam, and the normal situation, the fact that we all make a bracha before we do a mitzvah, that's as if I had in mind not to be Yotzei until I made the bracha. Since our practice is to make a bracha, therefore even if you did not have an active, acute awareness, you know what? I'm doing the mitzvah, but I don't want to be mekayim the mitzvah. I'm doing the action, I don't want to be mekayim the mitzvah. Says the Me'iri, you don't have to have that in mind. The mere fact that we have become accustomed to making a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's quite obvious that I don't plan on being Mekayim the Mitzvah. Until when? Good. Exactly.
Why do I have to turn over everything?
What?
Why do you have this whole concept of
The answer is that Tosfos disagrees with the Me'iri. Tosfos doesn't believe that the stam works. Tosfos agrees that when is it that you will not be mekayim the mitzvah if you had in mind not to be yotzei the mitzvah. But just because I didn't make the Birchas HaMitzvah yet does not necessarily mean that I had in mind not to be yotzei the mitzvah. Tosfos disagrees with the Me'iri that stam, since we are accustomed to what? To making a bracha, therefore, under those circumstances, it's as if I had a Tosfos disagrees. Therefore, the Gemara had to answer what? Kishahavcha.
Does the Me'iri hold that in general? When I pick up the answer, I don't have to turn it over.
Correct. 100%. The Me'iri holds that you don't have to. That's correct. In fact, it's related to right now. Right now. It's related to right now. And I don't know if I should do this, but the Bir Halacha says I can. So I'm telling you right now, I have no intention to be Yotzei the Mitzvah with counting the Omer. So the Bir Halacha deals this with this issue. You'll ask me, yeah, what's tonight? So everybody, ooh, you better say yesterday was 27. The Bir Halacha says you can say tonight's 28. Why? Why? Because my intention is not to be mekayim the mitzvah until I did what? Until I make the bracha. The Bir Halacha quotes that. What Tom, Dick, or Harry is plans on counting the Omer, making bracha? So when this guy happens to ask it, of course he's not. That's obvious. That's obvious. However, the Taz doesn't want to accept it because Tosfos disagrees. You're right, the Meiri would be fine, but Tosfos disagrees. How do I know that Tosfos disagrees? Because he doesn't say it. He says only mitzvah saint tzrichas kavana davigat b'shavcha. But just the mere fact that you plan on making a bracha is not considered sufficient that what? That I plan not to be yotzei the mitzvah. Kavana lehepech. You need kavana lehepech. You need kavana to say, I am not being the kind of mitzvah. Therefore the Taz says that you should not tell people tonight is 28. You should rather say it's 27. Unless you specifically say I'm not going to be mekayim the mitzvah. That's what the Taz says. Yeah. It's in Siman, if you want to check it out. It's Siman Tuf Pei Tes in the Bir Halacha. He cites the Taz. No, excuse me. The Taz says that it's okay, and the Vilna Gaon says don't rely on because Tosfos disagrees. Excuse me. The Bir Halacha quotes the Taz and says it's okay, and the Gaon says no. Ein Lachosh. Ein Lachosh Lazer. Okay, Lama Gein Vayta Gemara. That's all Rava's, that's all Abaye's answer. Rava Amar, line 3 of the Gemara, Rava has a different answer. Afilu Tema Kishelo Hafcho. It can even be talking about that what? He did not turn over the Esrog upside down. And nonetheless, he will not be Mikayim the Mitzvah prior to getting out into the street. Why? Hacha b'mayaskinan kigon shehotzi'o b'kli. He did not carry the lulav or esrog in his hand. He carried it in a box. Ask the Gemara with me, carried it in a box. For harava hu da'amar l'kicha al yedei davaracha shmo l'kicha. Rav is of the opinion that when you take something through some other assistance, through a utensil, you don't have to hold it directly in your hand. You can take an esro box and carry it in the esro box, and that's good. Says the Gemara, Hani mili derech kavod. That's only if it's a nice silver wood esro box. Aval derech bizayon lo. But if you take a bowl, a cereal bowl, and you carry your esrog in a cereal bowl, says the Gemara, that's not called derech kavod. That's derech bizayon. And for derech bizayon, that's not called lakicha. If it's not called lakicha, you have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. So you don't have to say that what? He turned it over. He put it into a plastic cup. Okay, he stuck his esrog growing the right way, sticking with the pitum up, and it's standing up, but he's holding it in a plastic cup. No one would ever say that a plastic cup is an honorable way of doing so. So therefore, under those circumstances, you are patur, because you have not yet been mekayim the mitzvah, and as a result, it is considered hotzi'o berishus.
Isn't that going out of its way? Was it common for people to...
No. The Gemara is just looking a way to wiggle out of its question. Okay. That's all. This guy had to really be an Amaretz. You know, he doesn't know how to be the kind of mitzvah, and he puts it into a cup. Yeah.
Just a broader question. Rav Yossi's halakha about Tavi Bar Mitzvah Why is that limited to Yom Tov Rishon only?
Only what?
Yom Tov Rishon. In terms of the Iker Din of let's say the Mikdash.
Because we will learn next Perek, next Blot, the only time that they allowed Lulav on the first day of Yontiv is on Shabbos, was on the first day of Yontiv.
That's a Gzeira too. So in in a Torah, you're being Yotzim.
Correct. That's why Hotzir Bershus. But on the second day of Yontiv, you're now allowed to take the Lulav. But it's on Shabbos. So therefore, there's no mitzvah to take it Midoraisa at all. Second day Yontiv. You're talking about in Bnei Brak. There's not Mikdash.
So what would Rabbi Yossi say
in Mikdash?
In Mikdash, if you were on the third day Yom,
he went going to Shabbos. He would say that you're potter.
Even though the Rabbanim, maybe they said that you. I mean, I don't
know. That will be the discussion. How much were they allowing before Rabbah?
Right.
Is it only the first day because it's a lekachdem, or any day? That's the beginning of the next parak.
If we hold it was the all 7 days, or Yossi would hold all.
Correct. 100%. Correct. Any time you are allowed to take it on Shabbos, it's considered Hotzah B'Shus. Correct. But he mentions say Yontav HaRishon, because that's exactly correct. Correct. Fight the Gemara. The Gemara will now give an illustration or two where this halacha of Ta'ah B'Dvar Mitzvah exempts you from a Karban Chatas. Nothing to do with our case. Omar Rav Huna. Omer Haya Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was of the habit of saying, Olas ha'of shenimtza bein agafayim ukasavar chatas ha'ofi v'achla pater. You have a kayin, Rabbi Yisrael, a kayin. Okay? You know the halacha is that an olas ha'of, a carbon oila is burnt completely on the Mizbeach. A chatos ha'of is ne'echal by Kahana. Ne'echal by Kahana. So there's a lot of activity at the Mikdash, and this Kohen sees a bird thinking that it's what? That it's a carbon chatos. And therefore, what does he do? He eats it. And it turns out to be that this bird was a carbon oila. And a kayin is not allowed to eat a carbon oila. Says Rabbi Yossi, that in such a case, he is patur from a carbon chatas to having eaten something in the mikdash that he was not allowed to eat. He's patur. Why is he patur? Because Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Yeah.
But eating is an exception because you get Hanah. Well, how's this different in case?
Okay, that's a good question. So that's a good question about the Misasek rule. That's a very good question. I don't know. That's a very good question. Don't know. Says the Gemara, Michael Mashmalon, we didn't even Oymaha Rabbi Yossi. Oymaha Rabbi Yossi means he's saying a new halacha. He already said it in the Mishnah. He already posited the rule. What is the rule? That if you wind up doing something because you think you're doing a mitzvah under those circumstances, you're part of a kamchatas. So what did he have to give us this illustration before I can get 50 illustrations? Why did he have to give the second one? Says the Gemara is a very big difference. Mahu de seima hasam hu de ta'a bedvar mitzvah patur hainu de avad mitzvah. Aval hacha de ta'a bedvar mitzvah velo avad mitzvah eima lo kamash malan. There is a distinction between the case over there and the case which he just quoted. In the case over there, our case of the Mishnah, it is at a time when you are supposed to take lulav on the first day of Yontif. So now when he went out and he carried it in the street, did he at least fulfill the mitzvah eventually? Of course. when he went to the Chacham, he learned how to put the lulav and the hadassim together, and he turned it over, and he was mekayim the mitzvah. So I could have thought, when does the exemption of a korban chatas exist? When you are torud, when your mind is preoccupied? Only if at least you are mekayim the mitzvah. But in the case of the animal, of the kohen, he thought he was eating a korban chatas. What did he wind up eating? Korban oil. Was he mekayim any mitzvah? No. There's no mitzvah to eat a korban oil. So under those circumstances, I could have imagined that torud bidvar mitzvah is not an exception. Because he was torud bidvar mitzvah, v'lo asa mitzvah. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi has to tell me the second halacha, that not only, what? Not only is the case of the Mishnah true, where you are engaged in an action and you made a mistake, and at least you were mekayim a mitzvah, even if you engaged in an action which never led to the fulfillment of a mitzvah, but you thought you were doing a mitzvah, that also will exempt you from a korban chatas. Yes?
And that's the answer to the question. Because the din of chalavin and aranias is only, it's not in the mitzvah case. It presumes chiyuv, even if there's no mitzvah, as long as there's hana. Rabbi Yossi is coming to tell you not
that the mitzvah, correct.
Notwithstanding the fact that there's hana,
it's
still bothered because it's a mitzvah.
The hana only compensates when it's an aveira.
Right.
You shouldn't be eating chaylev. Shouldn't be eating chaylev. No, but in this case, you're not eating chatas oifi.
But your intent was to be doing the mitzvah.
Right. Over there, he's thinking, there's no mitzvah. His intent was to eat regular fat. Right, that's it. There's no heter of Torah bedvar mitzvah. Correct, that's the answer. You're right. There's no heter of Torah bedvar mitzvah. Good. Very nice. The Gemara goes ahead and challenges Rabbi Yossi's halach. Meisvei. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hashoche es hatomid she'eino mivukar kehil chaso b'shabbos chayev chatas v'tzorech tomid acher. There were corrals in the Beis HaMikdash where they had animals that had been fully checked to make sure that they were not a Baal Mum. That it shouldn't have any physical blemish. A Baal Mum is disqualified as a korban. We read it 2 weeks ago in Parshas Emor. You're not allowed to be makriv, a deficient, a animal that has a physical defect. You're not allowed to bring that as a korban. So now, this guy who shechted the korban tamid from an animal that was not checked correctly, he's chayiv a korban chatas, and you have to bring him another korban tamid. Ask the Gemara, why? He was doing a mitzvah. What was he doing? Bringing the korban tamid. Why shouldn't he at least escape the obligation to bring the korban chatas because he was involved in a mitzvah? He was torah bidvar mitzvah.
So that's how it would exempt every guy if he takes the wrong form even too?
The what?
So according to this, you'd extend it to the guy who thinks...
He's taking a lemon. Yeah, that's correct.
No one would ever think that.
Okay, so let's see what the Gemara answers. Answers the Gemara, Amale Barmina. Okay, that's the only exception to the rule. The rule is the rule, but this is an exception to the rule. Why should this be an exception to the rule? I don't know exactly why exactly. Tahahi the Itmar Allah, Omarab Shmuel Bachatoi, Omarav Hamnuna Saba, Omarab Yitzhak Barashi, and Omarav Una Omarav, Kigon Shehevio, Melishka She'enon Minvukarin. There are two corrals in the Beis HaMikdash. There's one corral with what? With animals that have yet to be checked. And a second corral is what? From animals that have been checked. So in this case, let's assume he brought it from the case from a situation whereby he brought it on a Shabbos from an animal, from a cage, from a corral that was checked. Okay? But the guy who checked it did a lousy job. Did a lousy job. See, he takes an animal from the checked thing, he's makriv the korban, and then all of a sudden, oh, Rabbi Nisham, there's a mum here. Under those circumstances, we'd be potter. He would be potter. Why? Because he thinks he's doing a mitzvah. You know what the case where he's quoted that he is chayev? Because he took it out of the corral from which was never examined. That is an airhead mistake which we have no tolerance for.
Does he know where that he took it from there?
Yeah, he knows. He just took it from there. He knows that the time comes to bring the korban tamid, and he ran over to the wrong corral. That much Rabbi Yossi is not willing to give him. Had he taken it from at least from the right corral and you know and assumed that it was done correctly, he didn't notice something. Okay, that's Tarbet Bar Mitzvah. But to make a mistake, take it from the wrong corral in the first place, there Ta'a Bidvar Mitzvah is not going to suffice. And that's why that's the only exception to the rule. Because the whole thing from beginning to end had no chance of winding up as a mitzvah. No chance. Because it came from the corral She'einan Mevukarin, which have yet to be examined. Therefore, under all circumstances, then there was no chance that this korban could have been brought on a mizbeach, and as a result, it will now require a korban chatas. Therefore, the Gemara answers that it's what that he's chayv. That's the only exception. Now, there is a famous chakira about this halacha of Torah bedvar mitzvah. Here are the two choices: A, that Torah bedvar mitzvah is really just another way of saying onus. It was beyond his control. An onus, a person is never held accountable for an ones. If I am mechal Shabbos be'ones, I'm not chayv chatas. What does that mean? I walk here, and somebody pushes me into the light, and I turn on the light on Shabbos. I'm not chayv korban chatas. Because that was an onus. It was beyond my control. The Gemara, possibility A is, that when your mind is focused on a mitzvah, it is beyond your control to do things and think them out clearly. That's one possibility. Possibility number two is that Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah is not at all related to the halacha of onus. It's a separate halacha of what? Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah. Ta'a B'dvar Mitzvah. Now, tell me which of the two you prefer based on the initial qualifying remark of the Gemara. What was the initial qualifying remark of the Gemara? The initial qualifying remark. Lo yishanu elawat shelo yatzabo. Avo yatzabo chayiv. So which one would you prefer based on that distinguishing remark? Is it halach of anus? My mind is busy, I'm doing a mitzvah, or is it a special halach of Torah bedvar mitzvah? It's not really honest. What would you say? Of course. It's a special halach. That's why the only time we can grant you that special halach is when I've not yet been mekayim the mitzvah. Then you can say I'm Torah bedvar mitzvah. But if it happens to be part of a broad spectrum, that when you're involved in a mitzvah, your mind is elsewhere, and it's so preoccupied with devotion unto God that we don't hold you accountable for silly mistakes, then in theory, whether you were yotzei the mitzvah or picking it up or not, you still thought you were doing a mitzvah. And perhaps you should have been granted that exemption nonetheless. So that's just a famous chakira. And if I spoke to that on the other sheet, I don't have time to do it now. The other sheets, a couple of Rambams, Hilchish Gogos, and tell me, do it for homework. Tell me which one do you think the Rambam happens to think it's the position A or position B. All right, we'll stop here. I'll go down Marv.